This is the podcast for JNS Spine. Welcome. I'm Natalie Pinsham, and this is the July 11, 2014 podcast from JNS Spine. It includes articles on the following topics: the cervical spine, infection, the lumbar spine, and surgical technique. The evolution of T2-weighted intramedullary signal changes following ventral decompressive surgery for cervical spondylotic myelopathy. A clinical article by Soradeep Sarkar and colleagues. Intramedullary T2-weighted signal intensity changes on magnetic resonance imaging in patients with cervical spondylotic myelopathy represent a wide spectrum of pathological changes. The authors studied preoperative and postoperative MR images obtained in 56 patients followed for a mean period of 2 years after ventral decompression of the spinal cord. In addition to fuzzy and sharp intensity changes described by other authors, they identified a mixed type to account for the dynamic nature of intramedullary pathology. Preoperative fuzzy and mixed radiological lesions typically reduced to small, sharp changes at follow-up. However, there was no significant transformation in quality of preoperative sharp signal changes after surgery. Although the morphology of the intramedullary changes was unrelated to clinical outcome, regression of the change tended to be associated with a good outcome. The authors note that mixed changes appear to indicate the simultaneous presence of edema and ischemia, evolving into necrosis, gliosis, and finally, cavitation and atrophy. They found that postoperative regression of T2-weighted intramedullary changes follows successful spinal decompression and continues until remote follow-up, but the frequent persistence of a small, sharp hyperintensity at follow-up signifies permanent cord pathology that does not reverse with surgery. The authors conclude that this may account for the incomplete neurological recovery seen in these patients despite the marked radiological improvement. The effects of smoking on perioperative outcomes and pseudarthrosis following anterior cervical colpectomy, a clinical article by Daryl Law and co-authors. Smoking has been shown to be detrimental to overall health, and there is an accumulation of evidence that smoking is associated with increased perioperative complications and worse outcomes. But the data regarding smoking in neurosurgery is limited. In the published spine literature, smoking has been linked to failed fusion following lumbar surgery. In this study, the authors examined the relationship between smoking status and outcomes following anterior cervical colpectomy and fusion. Current smoking status was found to be an independent risk factor for a higher complication rate, a longer hospital stay, and a higher rate of pseudarthrosis. Compared with non-smokers, current smokers had a 4 times greater complication rate. Current smokers had more infectious complications, with wound infections and pneumonia being the most common types. The hospital stay was 2 times longer in current smokers compared to non-smokers. Therefore, recommending that patients engage in smoking cessation prior to elective spine surgery is potentially beneficial to their outcome. A retrospective study of iliac crest bone grafting techniques with allograft reconstruction. Do patients even know which iliac crest was harvested? A clinical article by Stephen Pyris and co-workers. iliac crest autograft is often considered the gold standard to help heal a spinal fusion. However, graft site pain has been widely reported. Many patients ask surgeons to avoid harvesting autograft because of the reported pain complications. Autograft site pain has led to a large industry, as companies have developed an abundance of expensive bone graft extenders, with sales exceeding $1.6 billion in 2010. However, these bone graft extenders have limited proof of efficacy. The authors sought to study postoperative graft site pain by simply asking patients whether they knew which iliac crest had been grafted when a single skin incision was made for the fusion operation. The authors figured there would be some patients with significant pain and others with discomfort. Therefore, they predicted that the rate of correct answers to the question of which iliac crest had been harvested would be slightly higher than 50%. However, only 36% of patients correctly identified the side of the iliac crest autografting. Only 8% of patients confidently identified, rather than guessing, the side of autografting. Discomfort from the graft site was minor in these patients. That is, there was no pain at rest and a score of no more than 3 on a 10-point scale, with activity. The authors believe that their findings provide further evidence that the previously reported rates of iliac crest harvest pain are overrated. To read all the articles published by the Journal of Neurosurgery this week, or to listen to more podcasts, please visit us at thejns.org. And for more information on how to submit your research to the Journal of Neurosurgery, please visit thejns.org and click on Info for Authors.